All right, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing, the opportunities that you bring into our lives, and the impact and demonstration of your power and spirit in our lives in a mighty way. And Lord, we ask you to open our hearts and minds and our ears and our focus and attention to receive from you what you have. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice that they would receive at least one truth, one revelation from you, from your word, by your Holy Spirit. And we give you praise. And everyone said, amen and amen. We've been doing this series called Surge, and it actually started before we had our last ministry, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, with us. And what was so interesting about this, a couple things. One is this is a word that God just placed on our heart. And as we were looking for direction, the Lord gave us this word. I Googled it, and if you Google that word surge, it means to suddenly and or powerfully move forward or upward. Say with me, to suddenly and powerfully move forward and upward. And so we've been talking about that context of in life, it's just not hanging out and staying where you're at in your season or level of life, but being open for God to direct you, because God didn't call you to camp out. He wants you to keep moving. Hebrews 12 tells us to run the race set before us. So it's a race, a journey. And with Jesus, the best is always yet to come. I get that out of Proverbs 4 that says that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the completed day. I also get it from the New Testament where it says that we're to go from glory to glory into his image. And so God wants us to continue to grow. No one knows everything. Nobody knows everything. Some people act like they know everything, but nobody does. We're all growing and all open to see God strengthen us and increase us. Not trying to be greedy, but looking in from the perspective of all that Jesus purchased by his sacrifice on Calvary. If it's available to you by that price, do you want it? Not wanting what other people have that doesn't belong to you, but accessing and wanting all that your Heavenly Father has purchased for you that's available to you. And we access that, Hebrews 11 tells us, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. And so there's a process that we can access all that belongs to us already purchased by Jesus. And so it's that journey of walking this thing out. Journey of growing it, because you might be strong in one area of your faith, but not so strong in another area. You might have the financial blessings of God, but still dealing with a sickness in your life that you need to get victory over. But by his stripes, you were healed. The Bible tells us in the New Testament. Old Testament says, by his stripes, you are healed. New Testament, by his stripes, you were healed. There's a time difference because of the placement of the cross. After the cross, healing belongs to you. After the cross, forgiveness belongs to you. After the cross, peace belongs to you. After the cross, blessing belongs to you. If you don't have it, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. We got to develop our faith. Romans says faith comes by hearing the word of God. And 1 John chapter 5 says this is what gives you victory in this life, even your faith. And so we grow in these things. Say, I'm growing.
I'm growing.
Say, I'm growing.
I'm growing.
And we all should be growing. If you're still at the same place spiritually that you've been 10 years, that doesn't mean there's not more for you to learn. That just means you haven't been willing to grow. We should all be growing and building our faith with that. And again, I challenge you like I do on a regular basis. Don't take my word for anything. Challenge everything with the word of God. Because Matthew 13 says it's the seed of God's word that brings a harvest of change in your life. God watches over his word to perform it. He's elevated his word above his name, the Bible tells us. And so the key element is, what does the Bible say? Amen. Amen. And so as we walk this journey out, and what was interesting, back to the story of Brother Ted, he had been spending a couple weeks praying and fasting and looking for direction. And so we were in conversation before the meeting, and I said, hey, what's on your heart? And he said, I feel the Lord's, I'm still praying it out, but something about for the Hope Church to be moving forward. And I said, well, we're doing this series called Surge. And I explained it. He goes, that's it. That's it. That's it. And it was cool how the Holy Spirit coordinated these events together without us planning things together. You know, the Lord has a way of orchestrating or bringing things into alignment for your good in a way that you look back and say, now I see what I didn't see before, how God maneuvered and positioned and brought people in and moved things around just for that right season, that right time. Amen? And I prophetically speak that into your life, that you're going to begin to see your eyes be open to see the handiwork of your Heavenly Father in your life in a way that you start, wait a minute, God's not the author of confusion or pain or suffering. He's the solution. And where I didn't know where to turn, I saw people the right time, the encouraging word at the right moment, the message in church at the right season. season that God will use to bless you and show you that he's still with you. Amen. Amen. Shout, I'm not alone. Jesus is with me. Doesn't the Bible say that he'll never leave you nor forsake you? And so we've been doing this series on Surge because there's always a next season for you. There's always a next level. There's always a greater level for your life. And yet there's a human tendency, and I know I've dealt with this in my own life, and I don't know where it came from. I think it might be just a natural thing, because as I talk to people, they'll be like, yeah, I've had that too. Where when God blesses you or promotes you or brings you to a new season, there's something that makes us think that that's the height, that we just hit the ceiling, the best of the best. Can't go any higher. And so because we can't go any higher, we get the sense of, oh, this won't last. Let's go back down. Oh, what a great week. What a great service. What a great encounter with God. That was wonderful. But you know, you can't live there. Got to come on back down. And we find ourselves coming back down to our former normal. But our formal normal doesn't have to be our new normal. God can elevate you, and when he brings you to a new level, he doesn't want you to have to go back. He doesn't heal you so that you're healed for 2 weeks or 3 months and then go back to the same sickness. He doesn't bless you so that all of a sudden you're blessed for a few days and now you got an unexpected bill and now you got to give it all back. He doesn't bring, do you see what my point is? Many people, we start, take a few steps, and then we take the steps back. And we think that's the way life is. That's the way life could be, or the devil wants you to think it is. But I'm telling you, that's not the way life has to be. That in Jesus, the best is yet to come, and he wants us to bring that new high to be our new normal. Why? Well, I can't go any higher. I've never been in this new territory. It's a ceiling. No, that's not a ceiling. That's a glass ceiling by your perception. And God can surge you through it and bring you to a level that you've never been there before. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And bring you to a place that you've never experienced before. Just because you haven't been there doesn't mean you can't go there. Just because you haven't been there doesn't mean you can't go there. Well, I've never had that kind of money. Just because you haven't been there doesn't mean you can't go there. Well, I've never been that happy. Just because you haven't been there doesn't mean you can't go there. Well, I've never felt that good. Just because you haven't been there doesn't mean you can't go there. And when you get there, don't go back. Don't go back. And yet the devil, one of his tactics, because Paul tells us in the New Testament that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Now, some scriptures I'm going to show you on the screen. Some I'm going to quote, and I'll give you a reference. Some I'm just going to quote. Why? Because based on your hunger, you're going to search it out. So I got to talk to different people, different levels, all at the same moment. Paul says that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. That means that his tactics that he uses against you, he'll use against other people, and we can know what they are. Have you ever noticed that the devil that tells you you can never get to that next level, and when in life you break through that level, shortly after the newness and excitement settles down, another devil comes and whispers in your ear and says, you can't stay here. You can't have that. You can't keep that. I just got here. Well, you got to go back. I know you just got that promotion, but you wait. They're going to demote you soon. Why? Because the devil tries to keep you back, and if he can't keep you back, he tries to tell you, hey, you can't stay there, and he's trying to pull you back. He's trying to pull you back. He's trying to pull you back. And if that doesn't work, he'll try to push you forward. We see that out of Matthew 13. As the seed was producing fruit, all the different attacks that the enemy brought against the fruit to eliminate it. And one of them was to lure the people away from what God was doing. The devil will try to entice you with substitute blessings, substitute benefits, substitute opportunities, substitute relationships. What am I talking about? I mean, you could be praying, God, I need a car. Lord, send me a car. And all of a sudden, the next day, someone calls or you see somebody working. They're like, yeah, I'm getting a new car and I'm trying to sell mine. Do you think anybody you know wants it? And you're like, it must be God. Because I just prayed this morning, Lord, I need a new car. And someone's offering their car for me for only $200. And it's only got 3 million miles. You better rethink that. Say, not all opportunities. Talk to me. Say, not all opportunities are God opportunities. just because they showed up after my prayer. Oh, Lord, I want to get married. Send the right special someone. And the next day you get a phone call. Hey, you want to go out this front? It must be Jesus. No, it doesn't have to be Jesus. Again, don't take my word for it. I'll give you examples. We see this even played out in Jesus' ministry. In the wilderness, didn't the devil, when he tried to push him down, when that didn't work, what did he do? He pulled him up to a high place and showed him the kingdoms of the world and said, if you worship me, I'll give you all this. Well, Jesus already knew the will of the Father, that Jesus was going to go to the cross of Calvary, but he would be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And so basically what the devil said is dangled, here's what the Father promises you, but I'll give it to you differently. Here's what God promises you, but I'll give it to you differently. Here's what, God promises you to be blessed. I'll give you money, just follow my way. God promised you to be successful. I'll give you success, but you can do it my way. It seems faster. And there's a lot of people in our history, people we know and watched on TV or movies, that they'll start in church. Oh, great anointed singers and musicians and different people throughout history, and they'll start serving God. And somewhere the devil offers them everything that God's promised them. But just do it my way. Oh, it must be good. It must be God, because God wants me to be promoted. Yeah, but if you're lying about somebody and stabbing them in the back and destroying their reputation to get that promotion, maybe that's not God. God will never ask you to violate his word to get his promise. Let me say that again. God will never ask you to violate. Come on, third service. I didn't say this in the first two, so somebody needs to hear that. Maybe not you, but somebody needs to hear that. And so as we cross into the experience of God, you don't have to go back. Don't let your old norm be your current norm. Let the new experience define the new norm and keep growing. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to have opportunities. That doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges for the enemy to come to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Jesus said, there is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. We call it a dynamic life. And so as we walk through this, wanting what God has promised to us, not being greedy, but wanting what's provided to us by the cross of Calvary, the devil's going to try to tempt you or talk you out of it. He'll try to intimidate you. If that don't work, he'll try to confuse you or try to bait you. And if that don't work, he'll try to bring you back. And one of the things that will help us keep going in this journey, this process, to stand strong, keep moving forward. Are you with me? Because nobody wants to go back. God called us to be in the race to finish the race. You're to run the race to finish it. Paul says, run as if you were expecting to win it. Run to win it, not just be in it. Run to win it. And God, as we walk this out in the journey of life, there are things the enemy will try against you. But don't you know, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Why? Because God has the answer. Before the devil thought of it, God already saw it and already made provision through the cross. Amen? 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 Amen. So let me give you two scriptures that are very practical. One comes out of 1 Corinthians 2, if you look at your screen. And Paul is talking to the church, and he said, listen, when I was with you, I didn't come just with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came with a demonstration of the power of God. Why? He goes on to hear, so that your faith, what is your faith? Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things you don't see in the natural. Because later in that chapter it says these men and women of faith all died not having yet received it, but having seen it afar off. And so it's catching the vision of God. Faith is knowing what God says. You get a revelation from it and acting, obeying. Because James says faith without works is, which means does not produce a change. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go my whole Christian life knowing information but never seeing a demonstration. Oh, we can't go there, so we'll move on. So your faith should not stand, notice, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What does that mean? I like to break it down this way. So that your faith and what God's provided for you, that you're trying to receive from God, that you're trying to grow and go in the things of God, that your faith would not be based, be supported, foundation on how you perceive it or can explain it. Let me say it this way. Just because you can't explain it doesn't mean you can't obtain it. You say, but I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to explain it to obtain it. Where do I get that from? Mark 4. Jesus said the kingdom of God is a man who plants a seed and goes asleep and wakes up. Another translation says whether he's awake or asleep. He don't know how it does it, but the seed in the ground and the earth produces fruit. He don't know how. Say, I don't know how. Come on, shout, I don't know how. But it still works. The word of God works in your life, Matthew 13, and regardless if everybody's against you, you get the word in you, and God who's for you is greater than all the others, and in the process of time, that word will change your perspective, your heart, your attitude, your surroundings, your relationships, your finances. It'll change everything. Some people are just hoping their ship comes in. They never obeyed God to get the ship to go out to come back in. Okay, all right, moving right along. And so we need to allow that faith not to be based on how we can explain it. Because the human tendency is for us to explain or figure God out. I know you've never done this. But if I'm praying for something, if I need something, maybe it's a financial miracle, I'll have a way of mentally figuring out how I think God should. See, I'll create my own plan, and I'll tap God's name on it, and I'll pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, speak to my boss, and he'll bless me, because last year I needed a financial miracle, and you sent my boss, and he gave me a bonus. So, Lord, do that again. You're all excited because you've been praying, and you've had a great week. You've been in a bunch of services, and you're filled up, fired up, and you know when you get to work on Monday, and so the boss is going to walk in, God's going to bless you with a bonus and raise, and so you're driving all excited, and you get there, and by lunchtime, you haven't even seen your boss. You're wondering what's going on, and you're praying and confessing and worshiping and thanking, and all of a sudden, you walk out, hey, where's the boss at? Oh, they're on vacation. And your expectation went from way up to way down, from the penthouse to the outhouse. Now you're thinking, oh God, what am I going to do now? What happens? We get married to methods. And we think God is limited by the boundaries of our definition of how he should do it. Well, God, you did it this way. You have to do it that way. No, we don't. Notice Jesus wasn't stuck on any method in ministering when he was on the earth. God's not limited by what you can figure out. And so when you define your faith based on what makes sense and you can figure it out, you're limiting what God can do. See, it doesn't make sense to roll away a stone when the guy's been dead for 4 days. It doesn't make sense to step out of the boat when Jesus said to Peter, come on out and on the water. Those things don't make sense. But if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and notice, he's going to direct your path. Why? He reveals his word. He speaks. It's not you doing everything. It's not you doing anything. In this series, we've talked about getting the play for the day from God, letting the Holy Spirit reveal his word to you for what you should do. And even if it doesn't totally make sense to you, God, how are you going to work it out? Don't you worry about it, because men and women of faith are not moved by what they feel, hear, or see. They're moved by the word of God. Romans 4, because Abraham was a father of faith. And Romans 4 tells us that Abraham was not moved by or looking or depending on the age of his own body, now 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't depend on that. But he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise was well able to perform it. What was this emphasis on? The power of God, not the plan of man. The power of God. Now saying, God, how are you going to do it? You might not know how God's going to do it. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't understand TVs, but you turn yours on, don't you? You don't know how to change the oil in your car, but you know how to drive it. We don't have to understand and explain it. People will try to get you to explain it because they're trying to get you in the area of just trying to figure out, well, how's God going to bless you? You've never had a job or you've never done well. How is God going to heal you? You don't have to know the how. You focus on the who, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, completer of faith. He's the author and finisher. King James says, of your faith, but the word yours italicized, which means it wasn't in the original text. He's the author and finisher of faith. So I'm going to look to him. And what I don't understand, then my emphasis is not on how. Have you ever noticed God doesn't consult you? Have you figured that out yet? I know you're pretty important in your own world. I know you're pretty smart in your own world. But something about God doesn't consult you. Now, what do you think about this plan? I got plan A, plan B, plan C. And if you got any other suggestions, I'd be glad to hear it. He don't do that. He says, follow me. That's what he did. Jesus did to the disciples. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll bring a change in your life. Follow me, and I'll direct you to a destiny greater than you've ever perceived. For eye has not heard, and eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he's revealed them to him by his Spirit. Follow me, and I'll show you. God, can I get into consulting planning phase? Sorry, because you only see partly. I see clearly. But Lord, I'd like to throw this. Sorry. God doesn't consult us. But he gives us an opportunity to trust him. Because if you understood all the ins and outs and had it all figured out, where's the trust in that? You won't step out of the boat. You won't remove the stone. And you'll never see resurrection. God said, listen, trust in my power. And so let me give you one last verse and an illustration to tie this together. We know a story in 1 Samuel, and we'll show it in a second, where David was getting ready to fight Goliath. Do you remember that? David's just showing up, bringing food, probably Chick-fil-A. And all of a sudden, you know what I mean, he sees the opportunity. Everybody's intimidated. David goes, now David's young. David hasn't been in the army or the military yet. David's pretty confident, which is cool, which God wants us to be, not arrogant, but confident in him. Joshua 1, verse 68. Meditate on the word day and night that you may observe to do. And then you'll be prosperous. Then you'll have good success. And through that whole Joshua 1, he kept on saying, Joshua, I'm with you. Just be strong and courageous. So David shows up and he goes into the tent of the king. And David, I'll do a Greg Bruce translation. David walks in and says, king. Now remember, this is a king of a kingdom. You just don't walk in and talk to the king like he's your best friend. You walk into the court of a king without being invited, you could die. And David walks in and says, hey, king, your worries are over. The servant David is here. I'll take care of that giant. You? How are you going to do it? Oh, I got him, king. Don't worry, I can do it. And David begins to rehearse something. Stay with me. David begins to rehearse something to the ears of the king. But it's also a benefit for him. And he began to say, king, let me tell you a story. There was a day when I was with my father's sheep, a few sheep we find out from one of his brothers, and a lion and a bear came and grabbed one of them. Now, when you got a few and they take away one, that seems like a lot. But let's be real. If you have a few and a lion and a bear takes one, I miss that little lamb. Your next prayer typically would be, I hope they're full with that one, because otherwise they're going to be coming back for another one. How do you make peace with a lion and a bear? You don't. How do you make peace with the enemy that keeps coming back? You don't. It's not a matter of he gave you a bad day. I sure hope he's tired of making me have a bad day and leaves me alone. He don't leave you alone until you rise up and stand up for what God's called you to do. And David went after the lion and the bear. I believe we can see through the text that he used his sling because that was the weapon that was proven. And he learned a lesson with that because he knocked them down but didn't kill them. We find because he says, and when I got the lamb out, all of a sudden they rose up. That means they weren't dead. Down, rose up. They came up. That means they woke up. And now he had to grab them by their whiskers. That means he was close. And God still gave him victory. Very important. A lot of principles there. Because he learned that with Goliath. I'm going to knock you down, but I'm also going to cut your head off. And so David's talking to the king and said, the same God. Now we're going to pick up in this 1 Samuel 17. Let's throw the verse. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. Notice this, the God who helped me in this everyday life. The God who gave me victory in my challenges in the day. The God who helped me in my everyday stuff. See, some people only see Jesus when it comes to church service or worship or prayer or reading your Bible. He's saying, hey, I had victory and I recognized that it was God in my everyday life that gave me victory. You'll get promotions, you'll get raises, you'll get pats on the back, but never forget, it's God in your everyday life that gives you those victories. Say, thank you, Jesus. Notice, he said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Past miracle. Say, past miracle. Yes. See, this is why it's so important to have these experiences with God. So when the enemy tries to attack you, You can say, wait a minute, I don't have to accept that. I don't have to do that. I don't have to be afraid of that. Because the same God, and he will deliver me out of this hand. He will, future tense. My past miracle reassures me in my faith of my future miracle. If God did it before, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me bring New Testament. Revelation says, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When the devil tries to hit you again, say, wait a minute. Now that you want to hang out here, let me tell you what God did before. And the same God who did it before will be the same God who do it again. He'll bless you and you're getting more money, and all of a sudden you get a financial problem. You think, oh, what am I going to do? The devil said, oh, you're going to lose it all. Say, wait a minute. The same God who gave me a financial miracle before will do it again. The same God who healed me before will heal me again. The same God who protected me before. I don't have to walk through fear. Even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why am I all upset? In fact, in Psalms 43, verse 5, King James, David said, why am I being disquieted? Why am I being overwhelmed? Why am I getting freaked out? Why am I stressing out? I will yet praise him again. What was David saying? There's a praise in my future about what God's, if he did it before, here's my praise. If he did it before, he will do it. Again. Say again. Again. Shout again. Again. Shout again. Again. That one word I want you to take with you today. That one word I want you to remember today. That one word, you don't have to remember everything. That one word I wanted to get into your spirit. And the next time you face a challenge and things are going good and things are going great and you're surging and then you hit a wall, don't you get nervous. Say, wait a minute. He did it before. He will do it. Yeah. You guys are awesome. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He knew you would face that mountain before you knew the mountain existed. He's already given you victory. You got to do it in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. And all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, he'll do it again. All right, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Faith without works is dead. You show me what you want me to do, and that my obedience doesn't make the miracle. My obedience gives you permission to bring your power into my world so that you can demonstrate the awesomeness of who you are. Because if you did it before, you didn't stop working miracles. You didn't stop blessing people. You didn't stop saving people. You didn't stop protecting people. You're still doing it. And if you did it before, you'll do it. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Hallelujah.